Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all of the moms out there. It's a nice rainy day for your Mother's Day. Wonderful, isn't it? It's just for a change, a little bit of rain. Welcome to Seattle of the East Coast. Good. The grass has never been greener. And taller because you can't cut it, right? Oh my goodness. You know, a lot of you guys know that we took a couple of years ago, we took a group of people from RBC to Israel, about 124 people, and spent about, I think it was like 10 days, something like that, we spent in Israel kind of traveling around. And on my bus, we had three buses, and the bus that I was on, I told them a story that I had heard that occurred in Israel. And the story goes like this. There was a family the extended family decided to go to Israel and take a tour, and so this man and his wife and his mother-in-law and father-in-law and family and so on, they all went to Israel on this tour. And part of the way through the tour, this man's mother-in-law took ill and passed away. And so they, you know, when he went to the hospital, and he's like, what do I do? You know, we're not from here, you know. And he said, well, you got two options, really. You know, you can repatriate her body, you could send it back to the U.S., or you can, and that's going to probably run you, you know, $5,000 and $10,000, depending on what your insurance looks like. Or for a very small amount of money, you can just have her buried here in Israel, right? And he thought about it for a few seconds. He said, no, you know what? I'm going to pay to send her back to the U.S. And I said, really? That's a lot of money. And he said, well, you know what? I've been here for about a week. He said, and I've heard a lot of stories during this week about this man that died a couple thousand years ago. And they put him in the ground. And 3 days later, he rose again. So I want to make sure. There you go. That was for my mother-in-law. Happy Mother's Day to my mother-in-law. all kidding aside, I love my mother-in-law. And I do. And my mother-in-law and I my very best mother-in-law jokes come from her. So every time she hears a new one, she calls me on the phone or texts it to me. And she's like, oh, you got to check this one out. So we have a lot of fun with that. And you know, my mother-in-law is great in a lot of ways. She's wonderful. We really do have a good relationship. And the nice thing about what I'm going to say next is that she can't understand it because she doesn't speak English. And she's not here, so even if she heard this, it wouldn't matter. But there's something about my mother-in-law. There's one, I don't know if you'd call it, I guess it would be a character flaw, is that my mother-in-law is very quick to see a situation, see the way somebody's living their life, an attitude that somebody has, and she's very quick to be able to make a snap judgment about that and really come down pretty hard on that person in a judgmental way. However, as quick a draw as she is on judging others, she is completely incapable of looking at herself. I mean, absolutely, positively incapable of looking at herself in a critical way and saying, where am I wrong in this situation? Where can I grow in this situation? And it's a real source of frustration, not so much for me, but for Patricia, because she has to listen to the complaints and the judgment from her mom all the time, but she's unwilling to have quite as quick a draw on herself as she has on everyone else. My bride, on the other hand, happy Mother's Day to you, love, is the opposite of that. I mean, she is very much, praise God, and maybe this is in reaction to the way that her mom is, she's very much, I want to know if I'm going off course, if my attitude is wrong in this situation, please tell me. The other one she always does is, if I ever start to act like my mom, let me know. And so my fear there is like, okay, that's dangerous ground to tread on, because if you start acting like your mom and I let you know, you might do to me what she does to your dad, and I don't want to be around for that. That's not good. The reason I tell that story on my mother-in-law, who I love very much, is it always makes me think of the importance in life in general, particularly in the Christian, you know, trying to live what we call the Christian life, trying to follow Christ, is the power of of sort of Christ-centered introspection. And being able to look, take an honest look at ourselves in light of God's word, and then adjust, and then begin to move in a different direction. And so I wanted to talk about, because I think if we're able to do that in marriage, here's the verse that I absolutely love. We quote a lot in our home, Psalm 119:59. And the first part of 60, I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I hastened and did not delay. And there's, in that passage, and this is where we're going to go today, there's really three parts. There's one, I considered my ways, right? I took a hard look at myself. And we're going to talk about three different ways to take a hard look at yourself, three different people to ask about yourself, three different persons, let's say. And the second part of it is that, you know, he turned his feet. So he made an adjustment. So first there's that introspection. Second, there's an adjustment once you've seen that you're off course. And then it qualifies that turning of the feet. It was something that happened quickly. I'm not going to delay. I'm going to do it quick. I'm going to move on this now instead of, you know, putting it off for some future date. So who are the three persons we want to ask? So the first person we want to ask is ourself, right? So that in that passage that I considered my ways and I turned my feet. If you go into, Matthew 7:4, right? And what Jesus is talking to, you know, he's preaching there and he says in Matthew 7:4, oh, or how can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye. So even Jesus is saying, listen, take a look at yourself. First get the log out of your own eye before you start worrying about taking care of your brother and taking a log out of his eye. It makes me think a little bit of when you get on the airplane and they say, you know, in the case of a depressurization of the cabin, oxygen masks will fall down automatically. Make sure you put your own on first before you try to help somebody else. Which, just so you know, if I was ever in a plane, I can almost guarantee you all of the moms would pass out and die. Because that is just not in your makeup to put the mask on yourself first. Everybody else would probably, you know. So for all you men, keep an eye out for the moms. Make sure they get their masks on so we don't lose any of them. But Jesus is there. He's saying, listen, take a good hard look at yourself. Romans 12:3, how should we look at ourselves? Romans 12:3, but through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you to not think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. As God has allotted to each a measure of faith, for each the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure. So that's, think about that. Not to think more highly of yourself, but to think with sound judgment about who you are, about your character. So it's not just introspection, but it's humble introspection. It's humble, Christ-centered introspection. So that's really the first part. You need to ask yourself. You need to ask yourself and consider your own ways. The second person that you want to ask, oops, there we go. Oh man, spoiler alert. You're going to ask your spouse last. Shh, don't tell anybody. David is a great source for all this stuff. So Psalm 139, 23 and 24 is, you know, David calls out to God. It's a prayer. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there is any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. So David is saying, not only am I going to look at myself, I'm going to consider my own ways, but I could be blind to where I'm off. In fact, we very often are blind to where we're off. We consider our ways and think, hey, I think I'm doing pretty good. I had a marriage counseling session this week, and I was talking to the couple about this disconnect between what men and women think about their marriage. Like, so if you ask the husband, you ask the wife, okay, I want you to, on a scale of 1 to 10, how is your marriage? And the husbands are always like, you know, oh yeah, we're like an 8, 9. I just don't say 10 because, you know, you got to leave room for improvement. I don't want to be cocky here. So I'll say an 8, 8.5, 9, easy. And then you look at the wife and it's like 3, 3 minus, right? Where is the disconnect? Right? It's just the fact that sometimes we're blind to where, you know, what are the issues in our own hearts? What are the issues in our own attitudes that we might think are completely fine? We're just kind of rolling on through life, just absolutely oblivious to what we need to improve on. So David says, listen, we need to ask God. We need to go before him on a regular basis and say, search my heart. You know, point out any hurtful way that's in me, and then lead me. It's just like that first one. There's an introspection. Introspection is great, but it's completely powerless unless it's followed up by, and I turn my feet, right? And so if you look at, he calls out to God, he says, don't just show me where I'm wrong, but then lead me in the right way. Lead me in a different way. Lead me in a different path. So what do we need to do? We need to hold up our life. We need to hold up our attitudes, our speech, our actions to the mirror. We want to look at that, of the mirror of Christ in the Word, the living Word of God. And then when we look at that, obviously, if we're looking at ourselves in relation to Jesus, if you don't find anything, there's something wrong with your eyes. You need to get your eyes checked, right? Because clearly, in comparison to Christ, we've all got places that we're still being sanctified in, we're still being transformed in that area of our life. So we need to hold up all of those things, not just our actions, but our attitudes, our speech, our demeanor, all of those things up to the mirror of Christ, or the mirror of Christ, and looking at that. And then we can't be, you know, James 1:23 talks about not being that guy, or not being that person that looks into a mirror at his natural face, and then the second he walks away, forgets what he saw. And then James goes on to say, don't be merely a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word, and so be blessed in all you're doing. And so, again, it's the same thing. There's that introspection. It's holding your life up against the mirror of Christ, the mirror of the living Word of God, your attitudes, your actions, your demeanor, your speech, all of that. And then not forgetting what you saw, but turning your feet again. So those are the first two, is the idea that we need to ask ourselves, we need to ask God, and then finally, you guys are going to be so surprised by this, we need to ask our spouse. And I would say this, don't fear the answer. Don't fear the answer. And I think before you ask your spouse, you need to do some preparation of your own heart to be prepared for what you're going to hear, because you might not like what you hear, and that's okay. But you have to commit ahead of time to not respond in defensively, to not begin to, you know, as soon as they say something, not to go, well, yeah, but that's because of this, or that's because you do this, and that's why I respond the way that I respond, or it's because I was raised this way or that way, or don't start rolling out your defenses. So be prepared to go in and just listen, right? Proverbs 9:9, what is it says, give instruction to a wise man or woman, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. That's the kind of person that we would like to be, right? So that if we're receiving correction, or if we're receiving input, instruction, that we would become more wise, not get defensive and try to protect ourselves against this input. And then again, another one, that just as you're preparing yourself, James 1:19-20. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. So on your part, as you ask your spouse, how am I doing? How am I doing as a husband or wife? How am I doing as a parent? How do you see my walk with the Lord? You know, if you're the husband, how am I leading? Am I spiritually leading our home well? Or where can I possibly improve in that? There's a whole series of other questions that you can ask. And I would say for the spouse that's receiving that question, Proverbs 15:1, right? A soft answer turns away wrath. So don't use this as an opportunity. Well, you asked, I'm ready, right? No, I mean, don't come out guns blazing. The idea is to say, okay, this is a humble, you know, somebody's humbly approaching me and asking for my input. And I'm going to gently deliver that truth to them. So there's more to how you approach that. Remember, I told you this series of messages on lessons for marriage are going to be short, and the idea of behind them being short or shorter than usual is to give you guys plenty of time to talk about this at your tables. And so what a lot of, or a good bit of what I think the conversation is going to be around is how do you approach this last one well? The idea of asking. And those of you who are parents, this is also a good thing to do with your kids. And that's a little bit scary, right? Because now you're talking to these people that you have authority over. But a good leader is willing to listen to the people that they're leading, or should be, and to be able to receive that in a way that's not, they're not going to take offense at it, but just receive it. And the things that are valid, take those. The things that aren't, you can, you know, set those aside. But you need to have that kind of, if you really want to grow, you need to have that kind of a humble approach to getting feedback. We used to call these, like, I think when I was in the business world, they were like 360 degree evaluations. You guys still do that? Anybody that's in business here? Does that still exist as a thing? Yeah. It used to be terrifying. You know, especially the higher up the chain, the higher up the ladder you got, the scarier it got, because now it's like you had all these. But I tell you what, it really changed the way that you lead. It changes the way that I led throughout the year, because I was thinking, these people are going to have a chance to critique me at the end of the year. I should lead well. So here's one tip before we go to conversation. One tip about how just approaching that conversation of asking your spouse. I would first, you know, sort of prayerfully lay the diplomatic groundwork. Right? Explain your heart. If you've never done this before, it's not your habit. Explain your heart behind it. What you're looking for. Let your spouse know that I'm not going to, if you have a history of maybe responding badly to criticism or critique, right, constructive criticism, make sure that you let them know, I'm not, this is going to be different. This is going to be different. One of the things, whenever I have a difficult conversation to go into with people, whether it's our, you know, missionaries in the field who are having, believe it or not, missionaries in the field actually have conflict with each other. Go figure, right? More conflict than a lot of the rest of us. But one of the things that I do before I go into any kind of a difficult conversation with fellow believers is I'll ask some questions up front, and I'll ask them to actually verbally respond to me. I'll be like, "So we both love Jesus, right?" "Yes, good. Okay, we both love Jesus. You know, we both love each other, right? You know, we get buy-in on that one." And I say, "Okay, and we both want, you know, to be better. We both want to grow. Do we all want to grow here in Christ's likeness? We all want to, you know, do we all desire to be more like Christ? Do we all desire to bring God glory?" And I lay a lot of those groundwork things first. You know, do you believe God's word where it says that we shouldn't be contentious with one another, that we should strive for unity with each other, that we should be patient with each other, right? And we kind of lay that all out ahead of time and then bring the questions, right? And then ask for the constructive feedback. So keep that in mind. That's just my tip of the day. I'm going to go through can we go to the next slide? These are our questions. Nope, one more. So, are you in the habit of evaluating yourself, or do you just let the days and years roll on by without much thought? Is the first question. I think it was actually, there's a quote from Socrates that talks about a life unexamined, as it goes, a life unexamined is not worth living, something along those lines. And I've heard various versions of that. But are you in the habit of evaluating yourself? Which person do you tend towards, the wise who welcomes evaluation or the fool who runs from it, blame shifts or makes excuses? And I'll just free up everybody here. I know no one's going to want to say that they're the fool, right? I was the fool at, you know, and I have been at different points in my life. Depending on how prepared I was to receive the criticism, I have, because that's your flesh, right? The human nature wants to defend. The human nature wants to, you know, you look at Adam and Eve, that was always the very first, you know, Adam and Eve and the serpent, you know, and Satan in the garden. It was like a lesson, the first lesson on blame shifting, right? Well, you know, Adam goes, right, it was the woman, by the way, who you gave me, just so we're clear on that. So this is essentially your fault when we really get down to it. But she's the one that did this to me. And then she immediately goes, well, it wasn't really my fault. It's this serpent that you put in the garden. Again, it's God's fault, right? Because why did you put him here in the first place? I've been that person, and I know we all have. So, you know, what is your, you know, which direction are you tending to in your life right now, and particularly in your marriage? Have you ever asked your spouse or a close friend for input? And how did that go? So good, share some experiences with each other. And then finally, how might you provide feedback more effectively or gently? And that's that last one. So how do you do that? How do you approach a person? You might say, well, my spouse has some anger issues, or they tend to towards the defensive posture. How do I soften up, the territory before we go there? And so hopefully you guys might have some good advice, some good counsel for each other around your tables. That's the beauty of this, is that we've got lots of experience, the collective experience in this room. We could write, a few volumes of marriage books and parenting books here, I'm sure. So why don't I pray for us, and then we'll go to our questions. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day that you have blessed us with. God, we in particular today just celebrate our own moms and those of us who are moms here, and just ask for a special blessing on this day as we just value and honor motherhood and the power of motherhood in the church and in the nation, in the world. Father, we ask for your special blessing on them today. Father, as we go into this conversation, this can be a contentious thing. Lord, our human nature does not like to look at our faults. We like to avoid them. We like to run from them. We like to shift blame for them and make excuses for them. God, we just pray that you would give us humble hearts this morning, that we would begin to learn to look with honest eyes at ourselves. And Father, as we consider our ways, that we would have the willingness, the desire to turn our feet. Father, we know that turning of our feet is only possible because of the hope that we have, which is Christ in us. And so, God, we lift this up in his precious name this morning.